What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast. Kat and JJ are not here tonight. They actually just called me about 10 minutes ago and said their house is flooding. They have a broken AC and a plumber is there. So we did not think that that would be the most opportune time to bring them on to co-host. So I will be running this one solo. We do, however, have a very special guest. It's Young Mi Mayer. She has a very cool podcast, the Feeling Asian podcast that she hosts with Brian Park. She's a comedian in New York. Young Mi, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Noah. Sorry, I'm smoking. Is that okay? It's not weed. It's cigarettes.
No, don't smoke anything. This is a no smoking podcast.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. No,
do as you please.
Like, I feel like weed is like more legal now than cigarettes, right? Weed is cool. Like cigarette, people are like, ew, she's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, but I feel like, especially like you being in the comedy scene, it is kind of weird how you get to people smoking cigarettes. I think it's the nature of people being up all night and just constantly running themselves ragged that it's just like, oh yeah, of course you're smoking a cigarette.
I started smoking in my apartment, like during the pandemic. I had to move to this like very cheap apartment, and it's great because like nobody cares whatever I do. So much freedom.
Well, that is, especially in New York, I feel like that's probably a nice thing to have some freedom in an apartment, because I know real estate is pretty precious there.
Yeah. The bad thing is that there's a lot of illegal Airbnbs, and somebody tried to like walk into my apartment the other night, and she was like, this is my Airbnb. And I was like, it's not. And she was like, it is. And she wouldn't leave. And I had to call the cops. But that's another story. That's not a ghost story. So
yikes. that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's the real estate market here in Atlanta is like blowing up like crazy too. We moved into a house like 2 years ago, and we just randomly checked the value, and we were like, should we move now? Cause this is worth like, it's just going to crash at some point. But then if you sell, you're going to be overpaying somewhere. So it's a real, like, that's, I don't know what to do, you know?
Yeah. But I love Atlanta. I was there actually like years ago with my friend Moses. He's in that band Deer Hunter.
Okay.
I think they're right. I don't know if you know them. Yeah. So I visited there. It was amazing. I love that city.
Have you performed in Atlanta?
No, I haven't been there. Like, I haven't been there since I started comedy.
Okay. So. Yeah. I'm not sure if they do the Laughing Skull Comedy Fest here, but I don't think they've had it since the pandemic, but I'm guessing they'll bring it back for 2021 as things are opening back up, which I think it's just because we're all tired of things not being open. It's certainly not because of like numbers and safety.
No.
Like, it's crazy. The theater I perform at, we started back a couple of weeks ago doing shows, but we're only letting vaccinated people in. And then everybody that's casted at the theater is vaccinated too, which of course isn't foolproof with the Delta variant, but it does at least give me some peace of mind, you know. But the audience is masked. I put it in air quotes, because as soon as they get in, they just start pulling it down, you know?
Well, also, I feel like if you're going to get vaccinated, then you're probably safer than the person that's not getting vaccinated.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I'm going to Dragon Con next week, which is like this, it's like Comic-Con, but in Atlanta, like 100,000 people go, but I consider it like nerd Mardi Gras. Like, it's not Comic-Con in the sense that it's super corporate and like Spider-Man's there to talk about his movie or whatever. I mean, they have panels and stuff, but for the most part, it focuses on cosplay and partying. So it's a super fun time. And thank goodness they switched to, you got to be vaccinated to get in. Cause I was they cut attendance by 60%. So they're only going to allow 40,000 people in, which is still like a shitload of people during a pandemic.
A lot of people.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to get tested, obviously afterwards, just to make sure I'm okay. But anyway, I'm sure the audience loved hearing about the fact that I'm going to DragonCon instead of talking about our guests and her ghost stories. So, Young Mi, we like to find out where our guests are on the Believometer, which is something that Jojo Wright coined. He's he does a top 10 countdown on iHeartRadio. He's also a DJ in LA, but he has his own ghost podcast, Paranormalish. So we kind of took that once he said that on our podcast. But 0 meaning you don't believe in ghosts, and 10 meaning you absolutely think ghosts are real. Where do you kind of fall on that scale?
This is the thing. I'm like a 0/10.
Okay.
Which, like, so I feel like this is the thing. Like, so I'm biracial, I'm white and Korean, and this is like my own like journey with it, is that like I'm very, like, I went to like American schools my entire life, and like, I'm very like science minded, but then there's this internal struggle between like, oh, do I not think this is real because I have this like white person mindset where I like, if any Asian part of my culture, I like look down on it. Mm. And that's sort of like weirdly racist. Because in Korea, it's like, there's a longstanding tradition. I was born and raised in Korea. I just went to like American schools while living in Korea. So I'm very, very Korean too, culturally. And in Korea, there's a longstanding tradition of like shamanism. And there's something called the Budang, which is like a traditional shaman in each village traditionally. And usually it was a woman. Okay. And it still continues to this day where now it's very, very expensive and only very rich people can afford it because it's kind of a dying cultural art.
Right.
But you call her for any sort of thing where it's like, this traditional like infertility stuff like that, or like someone's about to die, or you think your house is haunted, like things like that. And so that's a big part of my Korean culture. And so I toggle back and forth between those thoughts in my head because I do see ghosts all the time, literally all the time. And it was to the point where I have a therapist, like, you know, like a white therapist. And before I told her that I see the ghost, in my head, I decided that she was going to tell me that I have like a mental illness. So I was prepared to tell her. And then I thought she was going to be like, you have to be admitted to like, and so I was ready for that. I was like, she's going to like send me to a psychiatrist. I'm going to have to go to a hospital and get treatment because I think I have psychosis. And I told her finally one day, I was like, I see ghosts all the time. And she said, I believe in ghosts. And I think it's real. And
funny how that happens, right? Like when you go to somebody, I got one of those fancy pandemic therapists as well. And so of course it came up at some point that I do this podcast.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I totally believe in ghosts. And then like, we got to the root that I do this podcast and this has come up in the podcast, but because I have like a real fear of death. So I want to believe there's some form of afterlife because that would give me some peace of mind. And she was like, just go stay at a bunch of haunted hotels. You'll have an experience eventually and you'll believe in ghosts. And I was like,
yeah,
how is my therapist with a PhD telling me to go to a haunted hotel? But I thought that was so cool that she was open-minded about it. Cause I don't see ghosts on a regular basis, but I did have an experience when I was like 10 or 12 where I was playing tag with my friends in the dark at their house, and his house was haunted. Mm-hmm. And I thought I saw one of them run across the room, and you have to stay still and like hidden the way we were playing it. And so I like went to slap them on the chest and my hand went right through them, and they like turned their head like that and looked at me. And they had like red reflective eyes. It kind of like a Jawa, you know, like from Star Wars. That's like kind of another reason I've always been interested in the paranormal. But yeah, that's just kind of a little bit about me and my background. But that's cool that your therapist was accepting and didn't make you feel like an outcast or that you had some kind of mental health issue for seeing ghosts.
Yeah, but then it made me really self-reflect, like, what does that mean about me that I can't accept something that I don't understand? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that to me, I dislike that part of my own self. So then I was like, but then, you know, like, that's just, I guess everyone's like that, right? Nobody wants to like, be like, woo, I believe in something. It's so weird.
But don't you think that's part of like self-preservation? Because I think like some people that are so skeptical, let's say look at the world we live in now, not even just with like ghosts, with anything that they are just 100%, you know, belief in. Maybe it's that vaccines aren't real or whatever. Once they are challenged with the fact that that stuff maybe is real, or there's a strong possibility that it's real or whatever, their reality really starts to crumble. And so I think, you know, obviously we're not at that level of being extreme, but I think everybody suffers from some of that, whether it comes from our parents or religion or media, whatever it is. I think there's a little bit of us there. Cause like, I know I had that experience as a child, but yet I host a podcast where I'm a skeptic about ghosts because it feels so unnatural and non-intuitive to say, yeah, I touched a ghost when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah. It's the rigidity that I don't you know, it's like the rigidity, right? Like that you're talking about, like, I see myself as a very open-minded person, and I see myself as somebody that's accepting that I'm not smart. Like there are things that I don't understand.
Right.
So I don't have to pretend that I know everything, but there is a part of me that needs to explain to myself why I see ghosts all the time. And the explanation that I have told myself to be okay with it is that I, you know, like, we, you know, like time doesn't really exist, right? Like in quantum physics. Mm-hmm. And so what I think I'm seeing is people at different sections of their loop. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like if time, because time isn't real, right? Like that's true.
Okay.
And so when I see people, I'm like, oh, I'm seeing these people that are moving through, and somehow I can see past this like layer of time. And mm-hmm. and for some reason that is acceptable to me. Like I can like digest that. Do you know what I mean?
So kind of like a parallel universe type thing. Is that what you're talking about? Or just the sense
I guess you can say it. Yeah. Okay. You can say it like that, but in the sense that time doesn't exist. So everyone that's ever lived is right here with mm-hmm. us right now. Right.
Okay.
If time, you know, cause we like science has like the frontier of science has said that time doesn't exist. This is right. how we consume reality.
Right.
And so that's how I see it. And also that makes sense to me because what I see, the ghosts that I see a lot of it. Like I'll see people like in a loop over and over again, mm-hmm. doing something over and over again. That's like the one thing that I see a lot.
Which is also to me is yeah. like one of the scariest versions of being a spirit. If like there's something, well, there's two ways to look at it, right? Maybe there's something like from an energy standpoint that is so intense that you're after your pass, you know, your energy or whatever is kind of stuck in that loop, but it's not necessarily yeah. that you're mentally stuck in that loop. Right. But then the other thought yeah. is if you are mentally stuck in that repeating loop over and over and over, that's
terrifying
to me. Yeah.
Terrifying. Well, like, let me, do you want to hear an example of something?
No, that's just actually the end of the podcast.
No, okay, kidding. Bye.
No. Yeah, absolutely. We, yeah.
No, so, yeah, I'd like, love to hear it, so. I have, well, cause I have so many ghost stories, like an example of the loop that I'll see is that, so I used to own a restaurant on the Lower East Side. It closed during the pandemic, but it was like very popular. And it was like, it was a two-story restaurant. In the basement, there was a private dining room and a kitchen. And the first floor was the main dining room. And so when you work there, you would have to go down to the basement and get food and then bring it up to the main dining room. But during the pandemic, I was like, I had to furlough everybody because of obviously no one right. could work and blah, blah, blah. So it was only me working and I was like the manager. And so everyone would be doing the books and I would go downstairs and I would walk by the see somebody doing like this, like somebody just standing there doing like a movement. Like it, and a few times I thought it was like one of the cooks and I was like, oh, maybe somebody's still down there
right.
cleaning up, and nobody was there. And it happened like almost every single time that I went down there, and to the point where I like refused to go down. And then later on, somebody told me that that restaurant used to be a jarring factory. So I was like, I think I'm seeing somebody that used to work in the jarring factory, like just jarring,
doing
like
their jarring.
Yeah. Just yeah. like over and over again. And wow. that's like what I mean. Like, it's not even like I'm seeing a ghost. It's that time isn't real. And we're just existing on the same plane together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. That's so tricky. What part of your life loop that somebody like you could end up seeing? Thank God it was just seeing that person do jars, but I'm sure you see all kind of things if you're constantly seeing spirits or this time
yeah.
loop.
Well, this is how I am consuming that information, is that that's probably how that person spent a lot of their time. So that loop of their life is probably really strong, right? Mm-hmm. Think of like that person was jarring like hours a day for
yeah
40 years or whatever. And there's this other thing that I kept seeing. My old apartment before I moved here, I used to live in Peter Cooper Village, which is a public housing project mm-hmm. in Manhattan that okay. was built for the soldiers returning after, I believe World War One, maybe World War Two. I believe it was World War One. So the government built this housing for them. And one of my friends had to move out of the those projects because it was so haunted after 3 months. Wow. So like she said she was too scared. So it's like noted that it's a haunted area.
Right.
But when I lived in that apartment, I would be lying in bed, and the apartment was like, it was a one bedroom, but they turned it into a two bedroom. So I was like sleeping in the area that was the living room. Right. And so I could see through the wall, the built wall, and I could see somebody walk in the front door over and over again. It was like an old woman with very dark hair. And like right before I would go to bed, I would see her like walking in over and over again and like sitting at the foot of my bed and then like turning and like looking at me, like kind of confused.
Yeah.
And it would happen. Like I would see her over and over again. And so that's like another example.
Do you ever try to interact with whatever these entities are?
No. I mean, I'm scared.
Really?
Yeah. Like okay. I
only say really because you're saying that you see it so often. It just makes me, you know, sad or empathetic that if it's something that bothers you, it's unfortunate that it happens so frequently. Not really in the sense that you shouldn't be scared. You probably should. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't, deep down inside, I feel like I shouldn't be scared. Like, I don't think there's anything going on, but it's scary to see that. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I remember my former partner would tell me he could hear my breathing change when it would happen.
Oh, wow.
And I would like, cause I would open my eyes and be like, I just saw that person. Like, and he was like, I heard your breathing change. And it was like really scary.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when, you know, you obviously you're going through this stuff now, but what's the earliest memory you have where you were like, this is different. I think I may have just seen a ghost or spirit or something is happening right now.
The earliest memory is, I think I was like 4 or 5. So when I was 4 or 5, I lived on this small island called Jeju-do in Korea. It's like a vacation island, like off the southern border. It's a very small like community. And I went to school like a few blocks away. So I would walk home even when I was 4 or 5. And one day there was like somebody that was like, oh, I'm your mom's friend. And she walked me home. And I got home and I was like telling my mom about it. And she was like, who is that? And I was like trying to explain to her. And then I also was like, and then my mom's like, where's your backpack? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And my backpack was missing.
Oh, wow.
And then I went to school the next day and the backpack was still there. But okay, so this is the oldest memory where that was a ghost, but also I was 4 or 5. Like, you know, I have a 7-year-old and like, he like drops his like socks. He's like, where are my socks? So I don't know if that's like a solid memory, but I remember it stuck with me. Because I was like, I walked home with this person and I was like, I don't have my backpack. And I remember like holding my backpack the whole time and then it wasn't there.
Wow.
But that was like, yeah.
Ugh, it gave me chills. So you had that experience. Did things just become rapidly more frequent or was it kind of a slow build as you went through life?
I mean, I think that I think what was happening was I was seeing stuff and I was like, so like not accepting of it in a way.
Yeah.
That I wasn't like allowing myself to even think that that was what was going on. But I did do this thing pretty recently. Like I would say maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I started doing transcendental meditation.
Yeah.
And that's when, things got really like I had to stop doing it because it got too intense. And I mean, even like I said, I'm like 0/10. Like this is right. My zero side being like, I know that sounds really kooky, but so I started doing the meditation and it's just like you like chant inside your head or like you say it out loud.
Mantra in your head, right?
Yeah, you just repeat a word inside your head over and over, and it takes you to like the hypnagogic state, which is the state right before you fall asleep. And that relaxes you. And then if you keep repeating the mantra, it puts you in that state very quickly. Like that's the point of doing the mantra. And what I found doing that, when I started to do that, it was almost like when I entered that state, it looked like my eyes are closed, obviously. It looked like, I'm sorry, this is my zero coming out. Like it looked like spirits like flying towards me, like this, where it was like too scared. I would have to like stop.
So in your mind's eye, you felt like you could literally see the spirits kind of moving there, like almost. I mean, do you consider, because, you know, obviously we've had a lot of people on the podcast who vary in their levels of belief and what their experiences are. Some of my favorite guests are mediums and psychics, because I just want to believe that X-Men are real, and anybody who comes on and claims to have like this special power, I think it's so cool to hear about that and try to decide, you know, if I believe them or not or whatnot. But a lot of them talk about how it's kind of similar. They, in their mind's eye, they'll either see like flashes of like numbers or symbols or things like that, or they will literally see, you know, actual spirits kind of coming and going. And it's what it's kind of the way they would put it is they've learned to harness it to the point where they can decide if they want to interact with those spirits or not. I mean, is that kind of what it felt like to you?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like I felt like the meditation practice was like allowing this part of myself to open up. And what it felt like to me, was that I was tapping into this thing and these spirits like could smell it and they came running towards me.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, like it felt like to me, how would they look? And like, you know, the woman entering the door and the guy in the factory, what it looks like are like shadows. Like, and so I would enter the hypnagogic, like I would enter the meditative state and it would look like just millions of people like rushing to me.
Oh, that gives me anxiety. Like,
and no, and I would have to like stop, and I had to actually stop doing the meditation because it was too scary and it didn't feel unsafe, but I was just kind of like, I don't
want to. That would be overwhelming. Yeah, for sure.
Overwhelming. But then also after that, I can't stop it, because now if I, right before I fall asleep, like I have insomnia. And it's usually when I'm like, have been up for too long. Like if I'm falling asleep at like 4 a.m., like right before I fall asleep, it'll happen again.
Yeah.
Like there's a little window where that happens and it's like really scary.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So have you ever reached out to a medium or somebody who's incredibly intuitive to see if they can help you kind of hyper-focus, or even, you know, a lot of them will tell me that they learned how to put their quote unquote walls up so where they could just stop it completely when they needed to. Have you ever tried to get some training in that area? Or does the zero side not allow you to do that?
Well, yeah, no, the other side of me is like 10, you know, where I'm like that. I see ghosts.
Yeah.
I talk to ghosts. You know what I mean? But like, I've never reached out to anybody, but for me, like normally in my day-to-day life, it doesn't have, it actually every once in a while it'll happen. And I can tell you those stories too, because they're very terrifying, but it's like, if I avoid that, like sort of like meditative state, it won't happen. But I feel like at any point, if I wanted to like do that, I could, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are
you glad that this happens? Like if you could just, right now, genie appeared and was like, young me, either you can have this, you know, we'll just call it a gift. Either you can have this gift or you won't have it. You got to decide right now, which are you happy that you have this experience, or would you rather it just not be part of your life?
I mean, in a way, I feel like I'm like happy that I have it, even though I don't understand it. And like, it's to me, it's like very layered, because part of me is still like, I am just crazy. And like, I even talking to you, I'm like, people are going to listen to this and think I'm just a fucking stupid, crazy person.
Well, not our audience.
Do you know what I mean? So. Okay. But like, hopefully. Yeah. But like partly that's my own, like, that's my own internal like dialogue. But I'm like, part of me, I'm like, I should tap it, like what you said, I should like talk to somebody about this and see if I can like, if it can be useful. But there's a part of me where I'm just like, how can this be useful? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand.
Or even if it doesn't become something that's quote unquote, like of use to you, it could at least maybe get to a point where you feel more comfortable with it, you know, because it seems like even though you feel like it's probably a safe thing, I mean, I would have to imagine that it at the very least, it can be like anxiety inducing.
I mean, there's been a handful of times where it's where I've seen just full on ghosts in my just life without trying to control it or whatever. Sure. It just pops up, and that's been extremely destabilizing.
Now, when that happens, are they full on apparitions where it just looks like a completely real person, or are they faded, or like what do they look like to you?
One of them, actually, I remembered when you were talking about your story, the height of the tag story.
The Jawa.
Yeah, that was really terrifying. Actually, so I was dating somebody like 2 years ago, and I think this was like maybe an instance of like a actual haunting, like a house haunting, because this sort of ghost sighting rarely happens to me. Like I have three stories I can tell you really quick, and it's not common at all. But sure. So I was dating this person, and we went to his brother's house, like for the weekend. His brother is married and has kids, and so we went there. And I remember I walked in, and there's like a dining room table, and I walked in. And I looked at the dining room table, and there was somebody sitting at the head of the table. Like, I feel like, okay, so this is the thing. When I see a ghost, it's not to sound corny, but they look like a dead person. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
Like
okay.
Very holly, like not.
So like the zombie-ish sitting, kind of?
This person was sitting at the head of the table, which was facing, which should have been facing me. Kind of like this is what I saw, right? Like this.
Okay. And like, I turned to your side, like, kind of.
Yeah, not. And I was like, oh, that must be like a grandpa or an older uncle that fell asleep at the table.
Mm.
And, do you know what I mean? Because I had just gotten there, and I didn't know who was there. And I looked, and there was nobody there.
Ugh.
But first I saw it, and then I was like, and then I told my ex, and he was like freaked out. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but this is creeping me out. And then, I don't think I told him at that point. I was just like, never mind. I'm not going to say anything. Right. And I'm getting so scared remembering this. So I have a son at that point. He was 5, and my ex's two nephews were around the same age, like 5 and 7. So 3 of them were playing all weekend long. And at one point they played hide and seek, and this is a very large like house. Right. And so they were playing hide and seek, and I was chasing them. This is so scary. Oh my God. Honestly, I like just remember this when you told me your story. So I was like, okay, here I come. I'm like playing hide and seek with you. And so I went upstairs, and they had there's like 4 bedrooms upstairs. And one of them, the guest bedroom, you walk in and there's a bathroom attached, and like the door, like it opens up again, right? And so this man is Leo. So I was like looking for the kids, and I walk in the guest bedroom. I'm sorry, I'm getting so scared remembering this. And I turn, and I saw like a shadow moving behind like the toilet. And I was like, I'm gonna, oh, I got you. And I was like, it's one of the kids. And I look, and there's nothing there.
Ugh.
And I was like, oh, like, and after seeing the slumped over person in the dining room table, that was the second time. And I was like, okay, this is like fucked up, because like I said, I don't see ghosts like in real life like that,
right? You know what I mean? Yeah.
And so then I remember I was like shocked. I was just like basically gave up, because I was like terrified. And then like the kids like came out, like all 3 of them were hiding behind the bed or something, and I was like, ha ha ha. And then I told my ex, I was like, there's something fucked up here, like there's something fucked up. And I remember like we got in an argument, because he was like, this is like a brand new house, like they built when they moved here. And I was like, there was some spirits on the land or something. Cause something, I don't see. Yeah. Oh, so that was the first one where I saw like a ghost without like trying to tap into it.
Sure. Have you seen Haunting of Hill House by chance, either season?
I started seeing it, but I've recently not been able to watch scary shows or movies. I don't know why. I used to love them as a kid.
Yeah.
But recently, like, they really bother me.
I was just curious because a lot of our guests say that those shows, like, elements of them must have been written by people who've had, like, actual supernatural experiences, because it sounds so similar to even what you were just saying, like the hauntings on that show feel a lot like, you know, seeing like the shadow behind the toilet, or especially seeing like the old man in the chair and thinking that it's reality and then being like, oh shit, that person's not there.
Well, a lot of like horror movies, I saw one, I don't watch them at all because I don't, they freak me out too much, but I saw one, The Conjuring, I think.
Mm.
Is that the, or maybe it was like, not
The
not
Conjuring that. Has like a lot of like poltergeisty kind of stuff in it.
Yeah, I remember the like, this is like where it's, this is my, the 0% thing happening again, where it's like the gray, like sort of slumped over, like, look, it's very similar to that, not in the fact that it looks like a gray dead body, but the energy of the whatever you're seeing feels like depleted. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not like I'm seeing like a Hollywood looking goblin-y like zombie
right
thing, but the slumpiness is something that I.
And I think that's one of the most fascinating parts of people's supernatural experiences, is how they actually experience the interactions with a spirit or ghost, because we've heard it described everything from like a quote unquote shadow person to the entity looking so lifelike that one of our guests would literally open doors for them and people would be like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, I'm opening this door for this person. They're like, nobody's here, you know? And then hearing people that see more like of a faded out image, which I don't know. It's just so like, it's also scary, but it's also kind of cool that the experiences can vary from person to person, I feel like.
Well, so like, So in that house that I told you about, the first thing that I saw was like a person that was like this. And I was like, it's almost like you see it out of the corner of your eye and you're like, that's a person, but there's something about the person that's not right.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's like I thought it was a grandpa sitting in the chair, but I was like, that's like something in the back of my head's like, that's a spirit, because something is not right with how the energy, you know?
Right.
The second story is very short, but I think this is like an example of like how I will see ghosts. And this is a little bit more frequent, but it's a really good example. When I lived in Peter Cooper, I went to the Duane Reade with like the, you know, the pharmacy, it's like the Walgreens, mm-hmm. with my son. And there was a child when we were checking out, there's like big, obviously like glass windows and doors. And there was a child looking through the sliding door, you know, the front sliding door.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's so cute. It's just like out of the corner of my eye. But I was like, why isn't the sliding door opening? Right. Because she was like looking like this. I'm sorry. I'm getting so angry. So I saw it out of the corner of my eye. I saw a child looking through the sliding door. And I was like, in the back of my head, I was like, why isn't the door? It's an automatic door. It wasn't opening. And then I looked and it was an old person, but it was a child at the same time.
Whoa.
And then I looked and then like I did this thing where it was like I blinked and it wouldn't go away. And then I like looked and it went away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like, I can't explain it. It was like a child and an old person at the same exact time. And I was like, that was a ghost.
Yeah. It's a real like Benjamin Button situation going on.
It's kind of like an ageless spirit where it's like childish, like what's going on? And it was like so freaky.
Now, do you have any fear that your child will inherit some of these abilities?
Or
have they made any comments that they've seen ghosts or anything like that?
I think all kids say things like that. I'm not afraid of it. Like, not, it hasn't detrimented my life
right
in any way. Like I don't, and I can't see it ever
harming my life. Like, I mean, there's weird things where that will happen, where I'll have dreams and stuff and then I'll like become a reality, but it's never been like harmful. So I'm not afraid of that, but.
So, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep pushing the third story out, as I do want to hear that too, but you said you have dreams. So that's something that I experienced too, where I may have a dream and then certain portions of it may kind of bleed into reality. Or what I get even more than that is deja vu, where in my old job, I would literally, like, it would be in kind of like intense situations where I might be, you know, having to argue with somebody for work or whatever. And my brain would be like, they're about to say this. And then it'd be like, da, 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 da. And then it would even be like, you're about to say this. Da, 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 da. And it was, and then it would like go for a couple back and forth. And I'd be like, I've been through this entire moment before. And it turns out it runs through my family, which I didn't know. My parents are like pretty conservative, so I never really talked to them about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when I did, my dad was like, oh yeah, I've gotten premonitions like my entire life, and then gave me some examples. But the creepiest one, my mom had a dream that a cousin that she's really close to and grew up with, they're like the same age, he was in a car wreck and his wife and 3 kids were in the car and his wife died. And then it was Christmas Eve and she woke up like crying. And then literally 15 minutes after she woke up, we got a phone call that had happened. And I mean,
see, I totally believe that stuff, because this is my like science, Western science brain. Like, you know, like when people say, when you leave for work and you're going home, your dog knows.
And they're
like, we don't know why, how they know, but they know. They can smell, or like they can sense that you have left work.
For sure.
I think that there is something that we all have as animals. Like it's like a sense that we have, and it's not like hocus pocus. It's like an actual a scientific thing that we have that we just don't know how to explain yet. Do you know
some kind of connection? Yeah.
Yeah. And I like, you know, it's like the Doppler thing, you know, or like how, you know, dolphins like see the ground under them. Like, I feel like we all have that. And as we become like more intellectual, we've like lost touch of that. Or maybe we pretend that that's not real.
Yeah. Maybe it's like wisdom teeth. They just it doesn't serve much of a purpose anymore. So we've kind of started to lose them out.
I think that it also makes sense. Also, another Korean thing, that part of Korean culture, when you're pregnant, there's a specific dream in Korea. I forgot what the name of it is, but it's the dream that back in the day, before like pregnancy testing and stuff like that, you would have a pregnancy dream, and that was the spirit of the child telling you that they have arrived.
Oh wow.
And I had that dream.
I was gonna ask you, did you have that? Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. And I knew the second I had it that I was pregnant.
Wow.
And actually, my friend who's an artist painted it for me. Oh, it fell in my drawer. It fell behind my drawer, but the dream. So my dream was, I was like swimming in a lake with my entire family. Mm-hmm. It was like a glacial lake, like at the foot of like a icy mountain. And there was a mountain on the other side. And then I was swimming out, and then I looked behind me and my entire family like went back up to the shore. And I was like, why'd they go to the shore? Why'd they leave me by myself? And I turned around and I saw a big black bear. And I was like, oh my God, my family abandoned me.
Like, left you for dead.
Yeah, they didn't tell me the bear was coming. They like saved themselves, and they were looking at me like, sorry, you're gonna die.
Like, if somebody had to go.
Yeah, we didn't tell you, you're gonna get eaten by. And I was like, fuck that, fuck you guys, I hate you, fuck. And then the bear swam up to me and then didn't eat me, and he just swam next to me. And then I was like, I'm pregnant, and that is my son. And
oh,
that was
my gosh.
About my son coming from the mountain, the spirit realm, to meet me and sit, tell
how
me.
How cool is that?
Yeah. And my fam, and then I understood the dream as my family wasn't abandoning me. They were like, you were the only one that can swim with this bear, because the spirit is coming for you. And they were watching me swim with it.
That's really cool. Now, I did not have any spirit dreams when my wife was pregnant with our son, but I'll show you. I got,
did she?
Not that I know of. So I got this tattoo.
Cute.
Of my son and I, and he actually was not walking yet when I got that tattoo, but I'd wanted it for so long. He was like starting to like stand up and stuff so I could get some pictures for reference for the artist. Literally the day I got it, I came home and he started walking. And I thought that was like, I mean, it's more coincidence than supernatural, but I don't know. It just always felt special to me that it happened on that same day.
Yeah, but I feel like there's like stuff like there must be, you know, like even like evolution wise we must have picked up some sort of sense of like what you were saying with the car accident stuff, like just having a connection with your community and your family.
Yeah, I mean, like, even at like a very base level, like pretty much everybody has experienced deja vu, and or at least has like experienced that thing where you think about a song and it comes on the radio, or you think about a person and your phone rings and they're on it. So there's something to that, because it's not, you know, like a hardcore skeptic would say, well, you're just always thinking about that song, or you're just always thinking about that person. But that's not true. Like, I'm not always thinking about people calling my phone. I mean, I don't even like talking on the phone anymore because it's, you know, who does that? So there's something to it. And that's something I absolutely do believe. Well, we are running up on an hour, so I do want to get that third story in before we get you out of here. You want to share that with us?
Yeah. So the third story is like the most, this is the time that I called my therapist and I was like, I'm having a psychotic break and I need to go to the mental hospital. But basically I went to Korea and I rented an I'm going to be really quick. I rented an Airbnb.
Oh, no, you don't have to rush at all. I just feel bad taking up your time.
Yeah. Fine. I was like, so I rented an Airbnb and the woman was like very like artsy and kind of weird. Like she kept writing me these long emails in Korean and being like, I'm so glad you're staying here. And, you know, things have not been the same since my father passed away. And I was just like,
that's a lot of information.
I was just like, oh, she's like an artist. Like I was renting this one floor of a house in the art district in Seoul. And so I was like, she's an artist. So she's like, she's a poet or something. I don't know what's going on with this woman. And she was like, oh, and I hope the bathroom is okay because there is a fire. And I was like, okay, like, I hope. Oh, I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Get there and the it's perfect. There's no hint of a fire. And I was like, why are you saying that? The bathroom looks fine. And so I get there with my son, and my parents live in the country in Korea. So they drove up to pick up my son because I was there to do comedy. And so they took my son and they drove him back to their house. And I stayed in that apartment by myself. And I had jet lag. So I woke up at like 1 a.m. and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna look at my phone. And I was sitting in the bedroom and this is like the same thing where I was saying, it's the dead body looking energy.
Mm-hmm.
I saw like, I'm gonna try to do it on the screen. Like I saw like, this is the frame of the door, right?
Okay.
This is the living room. Like this is what I'm seeing through my bedroom. And I saw a hand go like this.
Ugh.
Like I can, the only way I can describe it is like a dead person trying to wave.
Trying to do the wave. Yeah.
Trying to wave at me, but they're like dead.
Yeah.
You know, look like that. And I was like, fucking, because I saw it like clear as day. This is like I said, I don't see ghosts in the day a lot. Clear as day, I saw the hand. And I was like, look, listen here, you bitch. You are stupid. That was a curtain. So I ran out to the living room. I was like, there's obviously a curtain next to the door. And the
right.
Even though all the windows are closed, the wind blew it. I go outside. There's nothing on the wall. And then I start screaming. I turn on all the lights. And then I jump in bed with the covers. And then I text my therapist. And I was like, I have to talk to you. I have to talk to you right now. And she was like, it's like midnight in New York City. I'll talk to you first thing. Like, how about, she was like, the only time I can talk to you is tomorrow this time, which would have been 10 PM. And at that point it was like, this seems, I think she had like, I'm trying to think of why it was 10 PM, but it was, think it was at 3 a.m.
Okay.
It was like, I can talk to you tomorrow, 10 p.m. So I think it was like for her night. I don't know the time difference, but there's a huge time difference. So she was like, the only time I can talk to you is your time, 10 p.m. tomorrow. And I was like, okay. So I was like laying in bed, like, okay, 3 a.m. All I have to do is sit here for 7 hours or however many hours and just get through like a day and a half. And I sat there awake the entire time, just like terrified. And then finally the next day I was like in bed, wide awake, terrified. And it was around like 3 or 4 PM. And I was like, I need to eat something. But I have to shower. I was like, just go in the shower, take a shower. You're going to feel fine. So then I go in the shower and then I'm in the shower and I remember what the woman told me about the fire.
Yeah.
I'm like spiraling, like just, and I'm like talking out loud at this point so I don't lose my mind. And I was like, just shower. You're okay. Just shower. And like, as I opened the curtain, so the door of the bathroom is like a regular door, but it had like a window in it, but it was opaque, you know, it's the bathroom.
Right.
So as I opened the curtain, someone just jiggling the door and I heard the sound, a child's voice go, ah, and then I saw like a head through the opaque window. And I was like, that's the neighbor, because the neighbor upstairs, there's a kid that lives there because there are like child's bicycles outside.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kid that lives there and he probably uses this bathroom when his mom's using the bathroom because like the woman leaves the door open. So okay. I was saying that in my head when I heard that. And so I opened the door and I was like, Duguya, like, Bupiroe, like, what do you need? Like, because I thought there was this little kid like came in the building.
Yeah.
Like, what do you need? What do you need? And then the front door is next to the bathroom door. That's why it was like this kid just walked in trying to use the bathroom. And the front door, I look and it's like dead bolted. So I was like,
oh no.
Okay. I'm just freaking the fuck out. I was like, You're going to put your clothes on and you're going to go get some food. And this is like a super busy part of Seoul. So like I walked out, it was just like just around the corner, there's like a billion restaurants mm-hmm. and bars and stuff like that. So I was like in the restaurant, I was like, I'm going to get food. I was like freaking out and the people were looking at me. It was like, it like felt like the movie, like, did you ever see the movie, Japanese scary movie, like the Japanese Grudge, mm-hmm. where the woman is just like, she's like haunted, but the ghost is always with her.
Yeah.
So she'll like go eat lunch somewhere in the middle of the city and it's there. Like
that's the ghost is there.
Like I was just like out in the middle of a restaurant and I was like, and so then that was like the two ghosts that I saw. And then I called my therapist at 10 and my friend like came to stay with me after my therapist mm-hmm. conversation, but I didn't tell her about the ghost because I was like, she's gonna tell me to like go to the hospital. So I was like too scared to tell her about it.
Yeah.
I didn't tell her until I got back to New York that happened. And that's when she was like, I believe in ghosts. And like, don't worry. But that was like the most clearest, like crystal clear time that I've seen.
Well,
two ghosts.
So I'm curious, have you had an instance, and maybe it was one of the ones you've mentioned, but where you've experienced this or anything that you've experienced, and then you've maybe shared that story with somebody and they've been like, oh yeah, this thing happened here, or oh yeah, my family has seen that before. Like, have you ever had it validated for yourself in that way?
No. Except for the Peter Cooper thing where my friend,
right.
She moved out after like 3 months.
Yeah.
But that was just like, not even the same.
Oh man. Oh,
no, but the restaurant in the Lower East Side, the mm-hmm. factory, everyone that worked there, I think I posted on Instagram where I was like, does anyone think that this place is haunted? Everyone that used to work there messaged me and they're like, it's 100% haunted. And so all of their managers were like, we've totally seen something.
And so when you get that feedback, does that give you some inner peace? Because I know you worry, you know, about like what is actually going on here. Does that give you a little bit of relief? Like, okay, other people are having some of these experiences too.
You know, like this is, I think this is what I was talking about with the 0/10. Like, there's a big part of me that's like, this is 100% real. Yeah. So like, when people say that, I'm like, yeah, I know. But I think that was like the time where I was like, I think the part of my brain that I tap into when that happens is like, I don't know everything. So like, just right. Let it go, sort of thing, you know, and it does like give me some sort of like comfort, I think.
Yeah, that's been one of the surprising parts for me for doing this podcast is, of course, the people that come on the podcast, you know, have ghost stories and whatnot, but the fans that have listened that have also had experiences and people have come on have said, you know, what a nice thing it's been for them when they've gone back and like listened to our catalog, hearing all these people share their stories and being like, oh, thank goodness there are other people having these experiences. Because I think a lot of people are like you where they're not, yes, you know what your experience is, but you're questioning yourself, like, what is it really? And you know, I think some people get comfort from knowing at the very minimum, there are other people also having some type of supernatural experience as well.
I have to say, I think that like the restaurant incident that made me feel like, it just made me feel like, it gave me a sense like, oh, this is like bigger than me. It's not even me. It's like, it's just something that's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, I do understand that.
But you're like one of the chosen people, you know, you get to see this stuff. Like most people just get to ask questions about it on a podcast. So
this is the thing. I think everyone can like tap into it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just part of like, I think we're just behind on the science of it. I think there's going to be like some sort of thing that we, maybe we're like really far away from discovering, but I feel like it is a thing. It's like a sense, you know?
Right. And to piggyback off that, what do you think it is about you that allows you to have these experiences? Is it do you think maybe some of the culture you come from where it's a little more accepted? Or, I mean, is there anything that you can put your finger on where you go like, oh, this may be why this is happening? Or is it just that you're open to it, do you think?
Part of me thinks that everyone can actually like access it, but maybe we're like blocking that part, or it's like, because most of my life I was like, no way, like no way. Like I just saw something, you know, that's not a ghost. Or
right.
Maybe like people are just like, just so adamantly like opposed to it that even when they see things, they're like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I don't know if you'd be up for this, but I'd love to bring you back on with somebody who will guest co-host with me a lot. Her name is Evelyn. She, and oddly enough, you know, I found out on such short notice that the actual co-hosts weren't going to be here tonight that I did message Evelyn and I was just like, hey, super short notice, like 10 minutes from now, can you hop on and do a podcast? And she was almost able to, but she had a session she had to do with somebody. So she wasn't able to, but it's just interesting because I know she would have enjoyed this episode, but I think you would have also maybe enjoyed getting to ask her some questions because she is an intuitive educator, which, I mean, she's a psychic medium, you know, somebody who claims that they can access people, and she essentially helps people understand what's going on with them and kind of helps give them options of, you know, maybe taking some control over it, or anyway, whatever. I just think it would be fun or interesting to see you two interact because based on what she's told me, it would be interesting to see how she interprets what your experiences have been.
I would love that. I would definitely.
Like, awesome.
I've never like looked into it. I just sort of like, I've treated it like partially like, I'm embarrassed of it. I'm very careful to, I know I'm saying it on your podcast, but like in real life, I'm not going to like pull it out.
I mean, this has been fascinating. And like I said, I would love to bring you back. I mean, we try to bring back guests who are open to coming back. You're a little different because I mean, you've got a lot going on just from listening to the episodes I did on your podcast and just following the comedy scene. I know that you're a busy person, but you know, I'd love to book you and get you back on down the road.
I would love that. Also, I have more, I have so many more ghost stories.
I know.
Like I remembered like more that I was like, I didn't remember that hide and seek one until you were talking about your story. And I was like, oh, that one was terrifying.
Yeah, that's
so scary.
That gave me chills for sure.
And I feel like years ago when I was living in San Francisco, my ex-husband's coworker, I was telling him about what I saw, and he is like Filipino, and he was like, oh, in Filipino culture, there's this thing called the shadow person that's like way worse than a demon or something. Yeah. And he was like, what you're describing is a shadow person. I remember I was so scared, and I feel like the hide and seek incident, what I saw was like a shadow person.
Have you ever Googled shadow person?
I think that when he told me that, I did. I got too scared, and I'm out of my memory right now, but that's what I saw.
That's been a big reoccurring ghost theme on our podcast, is the shadow person. I literally, my body is covered with chills. It's so funny, these stories.
Google it after I get off here, and I'm going to regret it.
Fans, if you listen to this episode, and I'm sure you've enjoyed it as much as I have, make sure you check out Young Me's podcast. It's Feeling Asian podcast. She hosts it with Brian Park, who is also great and funny. And it's, it's really, I would say it's something that's needed right now in society. I mean, it's always great to have a podcast like that in general, but I think especially right now with everything that's going on in the world, and especially, obviously I am not an Asian person, but I have friends who are, and what I hear from their struggle and just being a human and observing the world right now, you can see how important it is for people to not only hear y'all's stories, but also learn how to empathize and relate to them. I think I am originally from Mississippi. It's unfortunate and sad how many people judge others solely based, from inherent prejudice, but a big part of it is a lack of exposure. And then once they're exposed to people, they all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, this person's great. I think it's great that you can use comedy to sneak in life stuff that people, that's important right now. So kudos to y'all doing that. And congratulations on your first live show. It sounds like that was very exciting.
Yeah, it's great. We're having a monthly show now, and unfortunately they're sold out, but.
Oh, such a shame. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a big desire that I have with this, is to be able to do a little tour if this freaking pandemic will ever end. So we'll see. But congratulations. I think there's nothing but great things coming to you and already coming. So thank you for sharing yourself and your personality and your stories with us. And hopefully we can hear back from you again soon.
Yeah, I would love to be back. Thanks, Noah. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you this. Where can our fans find all your great content?
My social media is YM Mayor. My TikTok is Young Me Mayor. And then my podcast, you can find everywhere. It's called Feeling Asian. You can follow us on Instagram at Feeling Asian Podcast and TikTok at Feeling Asian Podcast. We share a lot of funny memes, Asian memes, and little clips.
Awesome. So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Young Me Mayor.
Ooh.